This Sunday is the sixth Sunday of Easter. The psalm of the day is from Psalm 66, verses 8 through 20. The scripture readings for this Sunday are the first reading taken from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 16 through 31. The epistle is from Peter's first letter, chapter 3, verses 3 to 22, and the Holy Gospel is according to St. John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Pastor Magruder is basing today's sermon on the epistle reading from this Sunday from 1 Peter. He will read that for you now, and he will read the Gospel according to St. John for his sermon titled, Baptism Saves You Now.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. Now who is there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. Jesus said, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We usually think of Noah's flood as destruction and judgment. We don't think of it as salvation. We think of the ark as salvation because it saved them from the flood. But in the words from St. Peter we heard today, the flood is salvation. Peter says that eight souls were saved through water. He doesn't say that they were saved from water, but that they were saved through water. The water saved them. Saved them from what? Well, from the same thing that the water saves us, from sin. Sin is within and without. The sin within is what the Bible calls our flesh. The sin that is without is the sinful world in which we live. Sin is unbelief at its core. It is telling God that he's wrong and we're right. This is the root of the evil that plagued the world in the time of Noah and now. God gave Noah 120 years warning before the flood came. God displayed 120 years of long suffering and patience for a world in rebellion against him. And it was 120 years for Noah to preach. Peter, in his second epistle, calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached to an unbelieving people. No one believed him, and God destroyed them all. Only Noah and his wife, his three sons, and their wives were saved. Eight people were saved from sin. God washed away sin by washing away the sinners. As Noah and his family watched the world being destroyed by water, they could see for themselves God's terrible judgment against sin. But God saves his people through water. How so? Well, first, Christ dies. He is just, that is, he's righteous. He dies for the unjust. He who had no sin, who never had a sinful desire or spoke a sinful word or did a sinful deed, he suffered and died for the sin of the world. As Peter writes, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." He couldn't bring us to God in our sin. He had to take away the sin to bring us to God. And the only way he could take away the sin from us was by taking it upon himself, the just for the unjust. Jesus, God's Son, was offered up on the cross as a sacrifice. Christ also suffered once for sins. Once. His suffering was sufficient to take away the sin of the whole human race. But that blood bought deliverance. That delivery from sin has to be delivered to us. Faith receives the forgiveness of sins, so faith is necessary. God creates that necessary faith by preaching the gospel to us. God creates faith by means of baptizing us. But the working of faith is not magical. God's word is often resisted. That we're saved by grace alone doesn't mean that grace is irresistible. Grace is resistible. That's the sad reality that Noah faced, and we often face. Noah, the preacher of righteousness, preached the righteousness that is ours through faith. He preached the promised coming Christ. He pointed people to the promise of the Savior's suffering and death, the just for the unjust, and his preaching was resisted. He preached the truth, and the truth was rejected. Then Jesus, after he died on the cross, went to preach to those who rejected Noah's preaching. St. Peter writes of Jesus that after he was put to death, he was made alive by the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient. When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. Jesus preached to the spirits in prison. We confess this truth in the Creed when we say he descended into hell. Jesus didn't preach to the inhabitants of hell to give them another chance. There is no second chance, as Abraham told the rich man in the story of Lazarus, that no one can go from hell to heaven. No, Christ preached to the spirits in prison to validate the preaching of righteous Noah and the pure preaching of the gospel of every time and place. Christ vindicates the preaching of the gospel because all gospel preaching is Christ preaching. He is the preacher, and he is the one being preached. And that's the heart of it all, of our faith. Christ the just died for us, the unjust, to bring us to God. The suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus gives the gospel its power. So baptism saves us because it gets its power from Jesus the Savior. As St. Peter says, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. Jesus suffered, died, and rose from the dead. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. All powers are subject to him. He's Lord over all. And he gives us the answer of a good conscience by taking away the sin that burdens our conscience. Baptism saves by virtue of the power of Christ's death and resurrection. That's how it is that our baptism is for us a robe of righteousness that covers us and sets us before God as perfectly righteous in his sight. Our baptism is not just water. It's water that is joined to the words and command of Christ, who said to baptize all nations and promised he who believes and is baptized will be saved. It's easy for us to become discouraged by the reappearance of sin in our lives. Noah and his family had to contend with the sin of a thoroughly godless society, and things are no different today. But it's worse when our own sins rise up against us. It's worse when our own conscience accuses us. We're reminded of our hypocrisy and rebellion against God. But our baptism tells us differently. It is a working of God. It saves us. It washes away the sin that clings to us. Baptism doesn't just wash away original sin and the sins committed before baptism. Baptism washes away all sin. Just as Jesus died once and that was enough, so we are baptized once, and that's enough to wash away all sin we ever commit. Baptism is a washing to which we return every day to claim the innocence it provides. Baptism saves us. That is what the Word of God says. It is the power of Jesus' victory over sin and hell delivered to us personally. When we face doubts, when we struggle with temptations, when we suffer twinges of guilt, when it seems as if the devil's winning the victory over us, we respond to our spiritual enemies by claiming our baptism and the victory it provides. We are baptized into Christ. No power, no accusation, and no false promise can rob us of what God gives us in our baptism. Baptized into God's precious name, our faith will never be put to shame and will never perish. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please join us to confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray in your name and as you have taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Collect for this sixth Sunday in Easter.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.